In a world that's always changing, staying informed is key. That's why you trust First News Now for your latest local news. When it comes to your finances, trust First United Bank for the solutions you need. Whether it's a checking account, home loan, savings goal, or business service, we're here to help you make smart financial decisions. This is Charlie Day, Market Manager at First United Bank, where our team always puts you first. Please stop by to see us today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 498-528.
Well, good Monday morning. I want to, first of all, apologize for getting the program on the web a little late this morning because, frankly, I've got a little bit of College World Series jet lag after rolling back into Marion late yesterday from Omaha, and got an opportunity to get back in my own bed. And man, I tell you, it was pretty comfortable after being on the road. That's a long drive out to Omaha. But me and some folks, some buddies went out and watched the first game of the College World Series, and we'll be excited to see Murray State play again today. I'll get to some of that in just a bit. But first of all, I want to talk with you about the courthouse and kind of bring you up to date. There's been a lot of discussion of what's going on up there, where, of course, the old courthouse was torn down last fall. And now we're starting to see some construction underway at the site in the middle of town. So I spoke with Judge Perry Newcomb and got some information that'll kind of bring you again up to snuff with what's going on up there and give you some insight and let him clear up some things, maybe some misconceptions about what's going on. So here's my interview with Judge Newcomb. It's kind of lengthy, but it's got a lot of great information in it.
Well, I'm visiting with Judge Executive Perry Newcomb and talking about the beginnings of construction activities at the Crittenden County complex there, courthouse, justice center, whatever you want to call it now, Judge. It's been a long time coming. They've been talking about this for many years and then funded it, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. And so we're underway. To kind of bring us up to speed on the timeline of what's going on up there and what we can expect over the coming months.
Yeah, Chris. So again, as always, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share this with all your listeners and with you, of course. But as you said, I guess the official name will be determined at some point. I think at this point, most of us are just considering Crittenden County Judicial Center. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was a slow start. There were some subsoil issues discovered once the old building was torn down. It was pretty obvious that in the early 1960s, there was no requirement for soil stabilization or subsoil structure. And what they found in some of their core drillings beneath the courthouse that was most recently torn down were actually remnants of the old courthouse from the 1800s or whatever, or maybe may have been one between the 1800s and the one built in the 1960s. I don't remember, but at any point, anyway, the core samples come back faulty. And so they had to do some extra, excavation there and dirt work that was unanticipated. And between that and, the fact that the weather has not been very conducive to construction all winter long. It's been a slow start, but they're making a lot of progress. It really doesn't look like it when you drive by, but they've gotten a lot of the foundation and the footers poured, and you're starting to see rebar above ground now that will eventually have stem walls and things attached to it. So, yeah, once they get above ground, it'll really start to show a change fairly rapidly.
What is the expectation of completion at this point? I know it's been a moving target.
It has, and when the contract was initially let, it was anticipated December of 26, with the weather delays and the delays in the subsoil issues. I think now the last notice that I had, it's roughly February of 27. So,
added a couple months. Just 2 months.
Yeah.
And would you hold your breath on that one?
I don't think so. No, not like, at this point.
It seems like these always take a whole lot longer than what they originally forecast. Kind of like the weather, right?
Definitely. And then, excuse me. And then also, you know, material supplies and things with the uncertainty of markets and uncertainty of trade situations. We're going through the process and trying to buy as much as we possibly can now to, one, try to prohibit any anticipated price increases, and two, get it while you can situation. So a lot of the internal components, especially with the mechanical side of things and the steel structures, mm-hmm. and a lot of that has been bought and it's being stored at the vendors' locations, which has been extremely helpful. And I'm glad the contractors have been able to work with vendors to achieve that, because obviously there's not a great deal of room there on site to store anything. So
take me through once this is well, let me back up one step. There's still a lot, sometimes some misinformation out there. I talk to people all the time who believe that our county dollars are being spent to build a new courthouse when we need to fix bridges or repair roads or whatever else. And those things need to be done, certainly. I know we're going through a lot of that.
Right.
But this money, I mean, while it is taxpayer money, it is our money, it's not coming out of the local pot. This is paid through the judicial branch of government, correct?
Yes, it is. It's listed as a county facility. However, during the term of the note that pays for the facility, which is paid by the state judicial system through the Administrative Office of Courts, the property is actually leased to them, which allows them to make that payment. And then at the time of final payment and that note is paid off, then that lease terminates and everything comes back 100% owned by the county.
Now, when will that payoff be? It won't be in our lifetime, I don't assume.
Well, it would probably be in our lifetime. We may not realize it at the time, but
it's
a 15-year note.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. I'm planning on being around at least that much longer.
Sure.
One never knows. We're not guaranteed day to day.
Well, I guess I was reckoning back to the jail, which was a 30-year payoff. So
yes.
I just, you know, you think of longer terms.
Yeah.
There will be some additional expense as far as security measures. I know, can we talk a little bit about that and what will have to be
and
provided?
Sure, absolutely. The way these judicial centers work, counties are required to provide what's called court security officers. Court security officers are responsible for security of the building, security of the courtrooms, security of the offices inside the facility. And the last report that I saw was that the state would require 15 court security officers.
Oh my goodness.
Now those are part-time positions, you know, so you've only got a few working each day.
Yeah.
But every day the facility's open, there has to be a court security officer presence.
How many have to be present? I've been down to Livingston County and they're under these new guidelines.
Sure.
And I think there's maybe two or three people who work there at the entry.
Yeah, so most generally what I've seen is there's three people at the entry operating the magnetometers and conveyors and things. And then there's at least one in the courtroom where there's an active court hearing taking place. And then possibly one just monitoring hallways and office spaces and things like that.
So, about five.
So about five per day.
Any given day. Yeah. And does the county pay for them, and then they are reimbursed from ALC, or do you, or will the county have to have the whole brunt of that on its shoulders?
So the way that works, the state allows a reimbursement up to $15 per hour. Of course, if you have to pay more than that, then that's going to be on the county's responsibility to cover anything above $15 an hour.
Gosh, they're having a difficult time now, aren't they? Even just filling the few bailiff, and these are basically bailiffs and security officers. So yeah. They're having a hard time just filling what we have now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be tough finding that many people because they have to go through some certification.
There is a requirement now by the state that all court security officers go through a training and get certified as a court security officer.
I think it's pretty short.
It's a couple weeks, yeah. I think. Yeah, it's not near as extensive as a law enforcement training, but very similar, similar aspects to it. And I don't know about your experience, but I know I've been in a couple of the judicial centers around the area just to look to see how they operate and various things as we've gone through this process. And the majority of them are retirees. A lot of them that I've spoken to really didn't have law enforcement experience before they chose that as a part-time retirement job.
Maybe you and I, because we're not too far away.
Yeah, we might look at that as a second paycheck during retirement, a few days a week, and then golf and fish the other few days or something. I don't know, but that's definitely an expense. And the way that works is the county would pay them as regular paid employees, and then at the end of each month, there's a submittal form that is submitted to the Administrative Office of Court for court security officer payroll, for utilities, for maintenance, those type expenses, and then the state reimburses the county. Right. And I would like to say it's 100% reimbursement, but at times, the way I understand it from other counties that already have judicial centers, it's not always 100% because AOC may argue that you spent some maintenance dollars on replacing a broken trash can or something, and they felt like there wasn't a trash can needed at that location or something. So there's always going to be those things that you have to ensure your documentation's right and look, on some things you have prior approval from AOC that yes, this is an agreed upon expense and you're going to get your money back. So,
okay. Well, Judge, I know there has been a lot of question about what's going on. Folks are now seeing some activity over the last couple of weeks. Just wanted to get everybody caught up on where we were and what we can expect over the coming months. So, you think by winter they'll be coming up out of the ground on this?
Oh, I think so. I would expect by the end of summer you'll see
some structure
poured and start seeing. Probably one of the first things you'll start seeing are the elevator shafts because those have to be in place. I think even before the slabs poured for the
inspections or something.
Yeah. So that'll come relatively soon. Probably start to see that in the next month or so.
Yeah. Okay.
I will mention one other real quick major change that's going to be an adjustment for everybody, Chris, if you don't mind. Court Street, there behind Courthouse, which Farm Bureau's located on. And I think there's a church back there and maybe a rental property or something. But that's going to become a one-way street heading north. So Carlisle Street will be one way between the bank mm-hmm. and the new judicial building, and then when you make that right turn, it'll be one way out to Belleville Street. That change will probably be coming pretty soon, I would think, because just because of a safety aspect of contractors and construction workers, just that's such a tight spot anyway. I think the contractor's probably going to look to go ahead and get that change made relatively soon.
So. I knew that was part of the original plans once it was done. I think I've reported that. But now I did hear something the other day, maybe from somewhere, transportation or something, that was probably coming on a little quicker than anticipated.
Yeah, and purely based on safety.
Just safety, sure.
Yeah. We don't want anybody that's driving to get involved in an accident, and we certainly don't want a contractor or construction worker mm-hmm. injured if we can help from that, and if we can get that traffic to one way. So it's going to take some adjustment, because it's an easy spot there as you make that left turn now toward the library off of Belleville Street. Mm-hmm. The way that street shifts lanes there, mm-hmm. it's easy to just wheel in there. Right. Just want people to be aware that won't be an option once that change takes place. So. Just be thinking about that.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks for getting us caught up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was 2014. I looked back in my notes. Was the first article, or the oldest article, I should say, that I could find in my archives on my computer. 2014, when I first wrote an article about building this new courthouse. Again, that was 11 years ago, and in the article it mentioned that there had been talk for the previous 10 years about building a new courthouse. So there's where we are, some 20 plus years into this project, and now here we're starting to see it rise out of the ground there on Main Street in Marion. And speaking of downtown Marion, or Marion in general, spoken to the city officials, and they tell me that perhaps today they will be able to rescind that boil water order. So stay tuned. I think they're going to have some meetings this morning and discuss where they're at. I think the chemical balance of the water there at the plant is getting better, and we should hear something today about whether they can again, release that boil water order that's been in place for several days now. And sports this morning is brought to you by Marion Recycling. Buyers of scrap metal open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 3700 Mott City Road. That's Marion Recycling, buying scrap metal right now. And in local sports, there's several things coming up. A couple of golf tournaments coming up down at Deer Lakes. You want to check out the Crittenden Press. We'll tell you about that. A women's event coming up on Thursday, and then followed up by a men's two-man deal. Lady Rocket basketball team has been on the road late last week. They were over in Missouri at the Poplar Bluff annual summertime tournament. That's the Rib City Classic, and the Lady Rockets are the reigning champions now. They went undefeated over there and won that tournament outright. Probably, again, the biggest sports news in the area is Murray State University at the College World Series. You know, some people have asked me, you know, they really don't understand how big this is. You know, it'd be like Murray State going to the Final Four in basketball. It's just a huge event. It's just the publicity that the university gets from this. You could not afford it if it was out there on the market somewhere and available to buy. It's just that important. Of course, the Racers lost 6-4 in the opening game on Saturday against UCLA. Just kind of got behind early. UCLA's speed on the base pass, I felt like, was the difference early on in that game. and the pitchers finally settled in, and Murray did not disrespect itself in any fashion, but just could not get the hits together, and you know, played great defense. Just UCLA put a lot of pressure on them with their speed and just their style of play. So Murray had some great plays in the game. John Hogarth over at from over at Madisonville, of course, he had two hits in the game. Probably one of the best plays I saw in the game was when he came home on a hit to the outfield, and basically the ball beat him to the plate, and he took a deep route and reached out. Just incredible slide coming into home plate, and kind of, you know, took a wide route and just befuddled the catcher. The catcher turned around and looked, once he had the ball, kind of, where's the base runner? And Hogarth had made a little circle around him. Which you're allowed to do. Most people don't understand that a base runner makes his own base path until the defender has the ball in his hand and attempts to tag him. So anyway, the Racers play today at 1 p.m. They will take on Arkansas, which is the highest seed team in the tournament right now at this point, that's still alive. So if Murray loses this game, it's an elimination game, and they will be out of the tournament. If they win, happen to beat Arkansas, they will turn around and play again in an elimination game, probably, if I were guessing, against LSU. And then the College World Series will wind up next, or this coming weekend, with a three-game series between the top two teams out of this initial two-bracket tournament. So that's what's going on in Marion, Crittenden County, and even in Omaha, Nebraska. So we'll talk to you a little later in a week. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.